Thank the Lord for your prayers. Already said, Happy Father's Day to all our fathers in here. It's a big job. It's a high calling to be a father. It's not one that our Heavenly Father leaves us without help on, though. He's given us, or Jesus described Him and what He brought down from the Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so the Lord has given us this example that stands before us of a true Heavenly Father. I think I'm going to not write it on the board this morning. I'm just going to say it. The title that I want to give to the message this morning is not found in the Scripture. Daddy, I need you. It's found all over the Scripture. But it's not said like that. I guess right now at the beginning I'd like to focus this on the example that God has set before us and the how we perceive Him. In our humanity sometimes we can all have different backgrounds that we bring to the table. We have different things that happen in our lives, and we can have different ideas of a father. And in this world and in this culture that we live in today, there's a whole lot of things that happens in this world that damages people's perception of a family even. We want to champion today, want to hold up before us the ideal and what God calls us to and what He wants to do in us and through us and for us, that we can pass on to another generation something that's very, very valuable. A true picture of what God wants in a home with children, with a father and mother and all these characteristics that the Lord has portrayed in Himself and wants to be projected out in us as family, and especially fathers this morning. I have some things that I wrote down. God has given us as men natural strength and leadership qualities. He intended for men to embrace those natural strengths and leadership qualities. Didn't intend for us to abdicate them. He intended us to embrace them. He also didn't intend us to use those qualities in a bad way. They're all supposed to be good and be used in kindness. He gave special tenderness and nurturing qualities to a woman, and those are all supposed to be put in this structure of a family for the blessing of the family. He also created natural attraction. He did that. And He intended that all that natural attraction to be tempered and framed with the element of godly love. He doesn't want it to be just selfish fulfillment. But godly love is one that is demonstrated in active care, active love for His children. So I have... I'm going to put on my glasses because I'm going to have a hard time reading. All of these qualities is intended to give us an example of the relationship and care that God has for humanity. When Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray, do you remember how He started that out? Our Father. And that may ring sweetly in your ears today, and then if we hadn't had a good father, I'm sorry, it may bring a bad attitude, bad memories. But I want to tell you, God is a good Father. And Jesus, who was the Son of God, came down and taught us how to pray and shared with us this beginning, this inaugural part of our prayer. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, Your name rings hallowed to me. You are special, You are one, and You've demonstrated to me how wonderful it is to be your child. God intended for us to understand Him as being mighty enough to overwhelm and defend His children. Isn't that wonderful? I think of this in a world where we have a lot of temptations, a lot of other things that come to war against our souls that would try to turn us aside, try to get us going down a path that would harm us and our children. Our God is able, He's mighty enough to face the devil who's coming against His children and raise up a standard against him. Raise up an ensign, raise up a force, raise up grace and power and authority, and not only of Himself, but He gives that as gifts to His children. There's a reason why James looked at the devil and all the forces that come, and he said, resist the devil. And why could he confidently say that to us? Because he knew that the God in heaven had strength enough to give us that if we resist the devil, the devil is going to flee from us. We don't have to be a slave to those forces, nor do we have to come under his power. Because we are children of the King. And thank God for that. God intended for us to understand him in this fashion, that he's big enough and mighty enough to overwhelm and also to defend his children. I think sometimes we consider this in a carnal way, that surely defending, and sadly, the Jews in the time when Jesus had come in that society, in that time frame back there, the Jews were looking for a king that was willing to stand up and physically defend them. The Lord's able to physically defend his people. He's done that before. But he's really interested in defending our spirit, our soul. Because that's where the devil, you see, the devil really doesn't care about this body that much, because he does want to ruin it. He does. He wants to torture people. But this body is only going to last but a few short years. It's like a vapor that is here for a little bit and vanishes away. But I was talking to Brother Dale this morning. He told me his age, and I thought of some of the others that are older here, and Sister Charlotte. And I talked to them about their life, and they say it was just not very moments ago I was a child. Sister Charlotte shared her memories of her father this morning, and I had to think of how old she is now. I thought, my, that is still a great memory in her mind, and I didn't even know him myself. And I thought, this is the importance, that life, this life, this body only passes in a very short amount of time. But this soul continues to live on. And because of that, our Heavenly Father is very interested in what we build in our spirit, in our soul. He's interested in that being protected and that life being preserved. Not only preserved, but that we might have it in a fuller measure, in a greater capacity of being godly and righteous and feeling the blessings of Him on our lives and in our lives. God wants also for us to see Him. We understand Him and His ways better. We want to see Him as a being tender enough to stroke and care, soothe children, frighten children. You ever felt that way? And in the backdrop of this, I'm thinking here now, sometimes in our human life. Remember a time that my father, we were out by a flowing stream. And you've seen water snakes go along the road, go around the, swim on the top of the water. And he picked up a rock and threw it out there. Once and missed and threw another, and it hit right on that snake. And that snake caught a gear and it came straight for where we were standing. And this little boy, who was about 3.5 to 4 years old about that time, I was standing there with a certain amount of fear, and I felt this strong arm scoop me up, and away I went with the daddy that I needed. And I consider this in life that, and I'm sorry for those of you, and I'm one also that's lost my father. I'm sorry that the best we have now is memories. And there have been times that in the things that we struggle with in life, I suppose every man encounters these places that I wish my dad could just tell me something again. I wish I could call him up and say that, or daddy. And I don't mind calling my father daddy, because that was a very endearing term. I'd still like to call him up sometimes and say, what about this? And I'm sorry if we don't have that. And our Heavenly Father isn't the one that He doesn't really want to take away that familial tie and precious feeling that we have toward our Father. But when He's gone, our Heavenly Father wants to stand in and be that helper. We can go to Him and say, Daddy, I need you. I need some counsel today. Things are happening in my life I don't know how to handle. You know, the emotional stress that I've quietly not letting even my wife know. You ever done that? Men, things that you want to protect your wife because you're afraid that it would cause undue stress on her that she didn't need. And so you quietly carry it on your shoulders and walk to your closet of prayer and say, Daddy, I need you. Now, the Father I'm talking about here today, the Heavenly Father, is one who wants us to know, who we understand Him in this fashion, that He's mighty enough to defend His children. He's tender enough to hold us in His arms when we're hurting, including the dads that are full grown and as old as I am here today, have grandchildren. We're not so big and strong in ourselves that we don't need to feel the arms and the counsel of our Heavenly Father. Feel His hand grasping ours, tender enough to hold us and soothe us as we're frightened. We understand Him. We should behold Him as being bold enough to teach His children courage. You ever notice that? I think our Father, our Heavenly Father, comes and He takes us where we are in life. And there are times that we are afraid. I don't ever want to be not real with each other. We need to recognize that there are some times that life brings scary moments. And if I acted like I never had those, I would be teaching a false something to my children. Perhaps they need to see me sometimes when I'm needing that contact with my Heavenly Father. I need to model that before them. Our Heavenly Father shows that. He's bold enough to teach His children how to face things with courage, with determination, with also leaning on Him. Our Heavenly Father is faithful enough that He will never leave us nor forsake us. As I have sometimes worked in jail ministry, and I met a lot of young men in there and asked them their stories, and there were many of them didn't have dads in their life. And that's very sad. Very sad. The Father we have here today is one that'll never leave us nor forsake us. He is able and willing. When our times are rough and everything seems to be collapsing around us, He he's not one that says, okay, that's yours, this is too much, I'm going to head this other direction, you just whatever you have to do. No, he's the one that stands. He takes us by the hand and says, son, we can do this together. This is the type of father we want to model our lives after. This is the kind of father who portrays himself as being bold enough to teach his children courage and faithful enough that he will never leave us nor forsake us, honest enough that he would never tell us a lie nor deceive us. Honesty. All fathers today, all men, not just men, but men particularly today, all live your life with great and radical honesty. That will help your children learn how to trust you. That will help your neighbors know how to trust you. That will help your wife faithfully trust in you. Because you're a faithful man. We learn faithfulness because I look at my Heavenly Father and His faithfulness to mankind. His faithfulness to me as an individual. He'll never deceive us. He is so full of love that He would lay down His life for us. This is how we understand Him. He's caring enough to teach us wisdom, to train His children. He's caring enough, He's involved enough in His children that He wants to teach us of His ways. He would let it be written in the Scripture that if any man lack wisdom, let him turn his heart and mind and ask God, Lord, I acknowledge I'm beyond my ability to grasp what I need to do. And I'm very needy of you. Father, Daddy, I need you. Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in my heart. I need your guiding hand right now. And I'm really saying this to adults more than our children this morning. See, my children always seem to know they need Daddy. But as we grow older, sometimes we feel like I'm self-sufficient. And I've become a man now, and I put away childish things, and I don't have the tenderness. I have I'm supposed to be this manly man. I'm supposed to be this one that just faces everything. Okay, take that and blend it with godly love. And allow the Lord to better round us, better mature us in the character that we see of our Heavenly Father. And He would teach us wisdom, teach us how to walk with Him in this day that we live in today, when the whole world seems to push back against the righteous character of our Lord and try to tear down the family. Why do you think the devil wants to tear down families so badly? Well, at least part of it, I believe, is because that if the family is done right, it's such a wonderful picture of our Father, of our Heavenly Father, and how He treats His children. Oh, later on, you heard that, you know, the term ecclesia, you know what that means? Actually means those who have been called out, those who have responded to His call. And that translates over into the word we call the church. We're the body of Christ. We're His children. We're those that He loves, that He's interested in taking us and shaping and teaching us, shaping our lives. And the devil hates that so badly when he sees a dad take his wife and love her and honor her and be faithful and be truthful and do all he can to give himself to that wife. And in that environment, then the children start coming along and children are nourished and loved and taught. And we found something special. We realize this is the way that works. And the daddy, the father in the home, has brought himself under the headship of Christ and has learned Christ and finds it valuable in his life as he reads the scripture and he ponders it and thinks, Lord, how do I apply this in my life? When you talk about, Lord, this is hard when I read this in the scripture, when you said, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Lord, how do I put that in my life? That's a little difficult. It's hard. It's different. It's something that's against my natural way of feeling. And then I read over there, Lord, your son said, if somebody slaps you on one side, turn the other. And you said, love your enemies. In fact, you said that previous to this, there had been, the teaching had been, love your friends and hate your enemies. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And I read that, Lord, and I just have to say, I need you, Daddy. That's beyond me. But all once we can bring ourselves into that place of saying, Lord, have your way in my life. Shape me differently than what I've been in my past. I hear your call. I hear your ecclesia. I hear you saying, come and come into my family. Call it the church or whatever you want to call it. Call into this family of God. Come here and I'll teach you my ways. I teach you what it means to be humble. I teach you what meekness really is. It's more than just being. It's meekness I don't ever think means to be a doormat. But I think it means to, with grace and humility, firmly stand where God wants us to stand. It's more than just being. Humbleness is always a great virtue. Seek for it. But God also wants us to be bold enough to stand for righteousness. I always thought it was an interesting word picture where Paul said that we be lively stones. You ever thought of a lively stone? Stone? I've never seen a stone that was alive and moved around. But he wants us to have the quality of being alive and the firmness of being unmoved. Only God's touch. He wants us to be moved at His touch. So I think of all the qualities that the Lord wants to build within our lives. That we can come to Him and say, Father, I really see, I need you. I see my lack. I see the places that... I'm going to say something that I think all of us, especially men who've raised children, all of us recognize. You know, there are times that things frustrate us. Okay, I'm not going to testify for you. I'll testify for me. There have been times that I have, in great frustration, and the human part of me rose up, and I didn't always treat my children in the right way. And you know what I've had to do? I've had to first say sorry to my Father in heaven. There have been times I've had to say to my children, I wish I'd have done it better. Sorry. Isn't that a wonderful quality that the Lord would like to build into us? You know, a man who has those qualities is going to be somebody that will build. He's built a foundation that you can safely trust in him. This is the kind of man I want to be around. This is the kind of man I want to raise my children with. Lord, help us to strive with holy striving, that the Lord would clothe us with His character and His ways, His virtues. Now, we think of these wonderful characteristics that we see in the Lord and the ideal that He holds up before us. And we recognize that sadly in the world we live in today, there's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot that's not done well and not done rightly. Sadly, that's a fact. But that doesn't mean that has to be our story. Even if we bring some baggage from our past, I believe the Lord wants to take us. We deliver nothing more than our brokenness when we come to Him. And he takes us as we are. He doesn't say we have to be shaped up to be perfection whenever we come in. We bring ourselves to him. And I give him my all. I give him a perfect heart. I say, Lord, my heart is perfect where I want to serve you. And I don't know how very well. I said, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, help me. Father, I don't mean to, by using that term, Daddy, I don't mean to diminish our honor of him in any way. In fact, in my heart, when I say that, that is the most endearing term I know how to give him. You're my Abba Father. You're my Father. And I believe the Lord would have us come to him and give ourselves wholly with a perfect heart toward him. And then he takes that brokenness, that place in us, that those things that need to be adjusted, needs to be taught differently. And so that's why we walk with him daily. I take up my cross daily. And I want to tell you, Jesus said it's a cross, but the more you carry it, I think it feels more like life than death. The longer I walk with the Lord, the longer I have denied myself, the lighter the cross feels. I want us to think of it as the joy to be able to carry righteousness of God on our shoulders. So I use the cross to deny myself and all this that looks different than my Heavenly Father's characteristics. The DNA that I have in him now is different than this old man. And I want to reject that old man. And the farther that I walk with my Father, the greater joy I have, and I understand him better. What is that scripture? It says something about beholding the glory of the Lord as in a glass, as in a mirror. We behold that glory of the Lord, and something about it, I look in it and I look and I see myself looking back, and I look at his glory and I say, I don't quite match up. And instead of being a father who is a hard taskmaster, he's a father that reaches back and grabs us by the hand and says, what you saw is really true. But I want you to come with me. And the picture you saw there is the land I'm taking you to. And then I start now beginning to realize what the psalmist, was it the psalmist? Where was it? It said, he would make our feet like hinds' feet. Do you remember what that? Remember that? Talking about us in our broken state when we come to the Lord. And our Heavenly Father accepts that. All I know how to give him, I give it all to you, Lord. And he takes the stumbling feet and the crooked ankles and takes us by the hand and said, courage, my child. I'm here now. My arms are around you. And though you may stumble, I'll bear you up that you not dash your foot up against a stone. And I will take you to that mountain, that picture of me that you saw. You beheld my glory. And you saw yourself and you were almost discouraged because you weren't there yet. And the glory that you saw is indeed me. In fact, it's like that mountain that you see in that far distance, that place that I want to take you to. And right now you say, I'll never make it. But then he whispers and said, but I'll make your feet like hinds' feet, that you can climb that mountain. Not today, likely not tomorrow, but I'll take you there. Oh, look at our Heavenly Father today and how much he cares for us. Yes. And though we live in a broken world around us, we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us and wants to take us as we are. I want to stop by briefly in our mind anyway. Maybe I won't read some of these scriptures. I'll run over them in our mind. I looked at some fathers. I thought of some fathers. You know, there's not a lot of examples in the New Testament of fathers and how they interacted with their children. Can you think of many in the New Testament? You might find one that I didn't, but I can't find hardly any. I look back in the Old Testament and I see, I'm not going to start with Adam, but that was one, father of us all. But I'm going to start with Abraham. I think of him for a little bit. Abraham, what a name. What a name that has rung throughout history. The reason why is because he obeyed and heard the voice of the Lord and obeyed him. He responded to the call of the Lord. And I'll tell you that some of what he did, I hang my head and say, I'm not sure I could have done that. But he did. At the same time, he was the father of Isaac. He was also the father of Ishmael. I believe Abraham loved both of those children. He also had more sons after that. You know, remember that? But I want us to recognize that in our humanity, we're not always going to do every decision that we make perfectly. Abraham found himself in a place that this God promised some great promises, and I believed him, and I'm being faithful to those promises. And then in this moment where it seemed like time and life had brought him to a place, I don't know, did I really hear that? Was it really true? But and in this faithfulness to the promise and what God had given him, he came up to this point, and his wife says, there's got to be another way. He became the father of Ishmael. The Lord didn't reject Ishmael because of what happened. He didn't. The Lord loved Ishmael. Isaac was born. Isaac was raised. Again, I'm going to condense the story. Isaac got married. Had a set of twins. And there was Esau and Jacob, a set of twins. And Isaac, for whatever reason, it was recorded in the scripture this way, that Isaac was partial to Esau and Sarah was partial to Jacob. Now let me ask all of you by reason, just normal reason that the Lord has given you, you think that's a good scenario? I honor Abraham and Isaac. I do. The Lord worked through them. I honor them greatly. I look very highly toward them, but did you know people we honor can also sometimes do things unwisely? I'll share with you again some of the words of my grandmother, who later on in life, she had worked for the Lord. There's a lot of things she had done. She'd been faithful to the Lord. I honor my grandmother. Precious woman. She's meant a tremendous amount in my life. And then she came along and said that to her children, she said, I've made mistakes. And she said, you try to do better. You don't act like I didn't make any mistakes. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't overlook it. Don't act like it didn't happen. But he said, you acknowledge those mistakes and you try, ask the Lord to help you do better in your generation. And I would say the same thing to every one of us here. Don't portray ourselves as the ultimate or the perfection. I don't want you to follow me, except only as I follow Christ. I want us all to follow and model our lives after God and after His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He has done on this earth. What He's done in our lives. So Isaac was one of those who had a preference toward one child, and his wife had a preference toward the other one. What does that, logically, what does that do to a family? It causes envy, doesn't it? It causes disruption. I just want to let wisdom speak to us here. I don't know where all we are in life. But I can tell you that this type of action is unwise to show favoritism in families. Dads, daddies, your child needs you, even if it's not your favorite. If you have favorites at all in your heart, don't let your child ever know it. Don't ever let it be known. Show them that you love them. And then maybe nobody here in this house needs to hear that. Maybe there's somebody listening on the internet needs to hear that. Maybe in some recording later on down in life. But I believe that our children need to feel the love of their father equally. Jacob was a son. How well did he do? Oh, the Lord had to put him through a school of hard knocks, didn't he? He had to run for his life. Remember the jealousy that came in the home? You remember what happened there? Esau thought that he was so hungry that he just couldn't live another few minutes unless he gave his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob said, yeah, I'll give you something to eat, but let's trade. How about your birthright? Well, it's not going to do me any good anyway. He said he despised his birthright. I'm going to stop right here for just a little bit and point out to us that any free gift that's given to us, he didn't do anything to earn his birthright. But any free gift that is given to you and I, first, you need to receive it. And then we need to value it enough to hold on to it. Did you know we can despise the free gift that God gives us? And we can throw it away. We can discard it. That's wholly in our hands and our ability to do. God gave us that. God gave us that responsibility, actually. So Isaac, Esau and Jacob, where we are. Esau despised his birthright and gave it away. And Jacob, I don't know what they thought that transaction really happened. But somehow in the process of time, came time for the father to pass away. And his father said, oh, Esau, I remember those that good meat when you used to go out. And oh, would you go if I could just have that one more time? So he went out and he was hunting. And while he was doing that, the mother had heard the words, when you get back, I'm going to give you the inheritance. And she quit. Oh, the whole thing's an ugly picture, folks. It just is. I'm saying this and honoring Isaac, I'm telling you. But it wasn't wise to do that. Oh, you know the situation, how Jacob then had to flee for his life because he stole the blessing. And he had to flee for his life. And he was down there for a number of years, and how he was treated unkindly, unfairly also. And then it came time, I can't even stay here any longer. And he said, I'm going to go back home. And he headed back home, and he heard on the way home. You remember the story. Headed back home, and the word came to him that your brother Esau remembers your treachery, and he's coming out to meet you with 400 armed men. I want us to notice the seeds that we plant in our children's hearts, how it can have very long-lasting, deleterious effect. Esau's coming now to meet him with 400 armed soldiers. Jacob tried in his human skill and to try to preserve some of his family at least. He separated them, and even in separating them, it seemed like he put his most favorite in this one area and those least favorite. Lord, have mercy on us. Don't do things like that. And then he went up into a mountain over there to pray. The night wore heavy on his shoulders. And there met him a man. Looked like it, didn't it? Looked like a man met him there. And he began to wrestle. I don't know what made Jacob begin to wrestle. I imagine this man came to him with some sort of aggression. And Jacob began to wrestle with this man. perceiving that his life was at stake. And the wrestling match went on till the break of day. You know, I believe that God could have in a moment struck down Jacob. Didn't need to wrestle all night, except for Jacob's sake. See, Jacob needed to learn he needed to depend on the Lord. See, God is strong enough to teach his children, wise enough to know how. And Jacob was wrestling, and the angel said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I won't." The angel could have broken free any moment he wanted to. But the angel stayed there to teach Jacob something. First, he touched his leg, hollow his thigh, as Wade said, until he couldn't. He went halt upon it. It was something that carried with him throughout the rest of his life. A memory of the moment where he wrestled, I think, more with himself than he did with the angel. But anyway, it was an angel. But I think the Lord was teaching him something. He was confronting himself, I believe, there. "What's your name?" Oh, angel asked him what his name was, and he said, I got to tell you, my name's Jacob. My name has been Deceiver for all these years. Tonight, I can't hide it anymore. That's who I am." And the God of Jacob's soul said, "Your name's going to be changed now. Because now you've got power with God. You're in favor with the Lord now." I don't think he would have ever been in favor with the Lord unless he'd have wrestled with the man inside him. This is one of the marks of a father today. This is one of the marks that the Lord wants to create in all of us men. He wants to create us in that fashion and in that image, where we have favor with God. Where I have wrestled with the man inside. Where I have wrestled with the old flesh and carnality, this thing that would rise up in the wrong spirit. And I wrestle with him till I acknowledge that's who I am. I beheld the glory of the Lord. And the picture that shone back to me was an ugly one. But I said, "Lord, I don't want to be that anymore." And the dawn now is breaking. And the hope now arises. And he says, "Your name's changed. Your identity is different. A different DNA now flows through your veins. I'm no longer a child of the old man. I've been translated from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm no longer the old man. I'm changed in my heart." Thank the Lord for the change that he can give. And I would like to say at this juncture, perhaps, that when a man finds himself in a place like that, I think there's something inside his heart that just says, "Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you." That is not a recipe for failure to say that. That's a recipe for ultimate victory. That's the path that the Lord would like to lead us down. Because without that path, we'll never reach the mountain peaks. Our feet will remain crippled and broken, just like the world we live in. But because our Heavenly Father loves his children, wants to teach us righteousness, wants to teach us wisdom, wants to teach us of his knowledge, wants to pass on his ways to me. And don't ever let the devil tell you you can't learn of the ways of the Lord, because he wants to teach us of that. Don't let the devil tell you that you always got to be stuck in the old man, because the Bible teaches us that if any man be in Christ, he's new. He's new. So what the Lord wants to do today to every one of us is to prove his fatherhood. to us. And then as we come into His loving family and feel His arms around us, and sometimes His whispered correction in our ears, and sometimes His correction that's louder than a whisper. He wants to create that family unit. I didn't look this scripture up, it just now came to my mind. And I forget the totality of the scripture right now. But it talked about, I think, where God was wanting to do something with people and bring them into a place of communion with Him. And He said that He would set, was it the solitary? He would set the people who are alone. You know what He had for them? The words in my King James Version was, He set the solitary in family. Our Heavenly Father looks at all the brokenness out there and He said, if you just bring it all to Me, I won't upbraid you when you're not wise enough. I won't tell you you're so bad I can't receive you. He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll be your Father. I'll give you rest. I don't think I'm going to go on any farther with this, but I want us to, this morning, with all of our heart, look at our Heavenly Father and say, all that I have inside here, this little insecurity, all this that I feel, an incompleteness, He would love to hear us say, Daddy, I need You. Because He comes where we are and just puts His arms around us. We have a good shepherd and a Heavenly Father. Pray for me, I want to serve Him.